You are listening to Bicycle Retail Radio, brought to you by the National Bicycle Dealers Association.
Welcome to another episode of Bicycle Retail Radio, produced by the National Bicycle Dealers Association. This is NBDA President Heather Mason. Specialty bicycle retailers are the heart of the cycling industry, and since 1946, the NBDA has existed to strengthen these businesses through education, research, communication, and advocacy. The NBDA is a nonprofit supported by the membership of participating retailers and industry partners. If you're not already a member, you can learn more and join online at nbda.com. Okay, instead of bringing a guest on the podcast live today, we are going to feature a recording with Lauren DiMartino from Kids Ride Shotgun. She joined us December 1st, 2022 for an NBDA member roundtable event focused on the kids category. In this conversation, you'll listen to Lauren and I talk about the kids category and why it is so important to a retailer's offering. We'll touch on what the current climate is around kids bike sales. This conversation will dive deep into focusing on the retailers who are excelling at kids sales and why. We'll include some tips for interacting with parents regarding bike and helmet sizing, and then dive into, finally, what's missing in the current landscape around the kids category. The roundtable conversation is jam-packed with value-add nuggets for retailers of all sizes. Special thanks to Lauren DiMartino, Kids Ride Shotgun, for joining the NBDA for the special roundtable event for our members. All right. Hey, Larry. Hey, Tom. Thank you for joining us, everyone, for our roundtable event today focused on the kids category. This is such an important category for the bicycle retailer, and we really wanted to bring everyone together to talk through what's working, what's missing, merchandising, model mix, pricing, margin, more, how retailers are growing this category. I'm really thankful to Lauren, who has volunteered her time to lend insight into the conversation. So 15 plus years of experience in the outdoor industry, currently leading North America with Kids Ride Shotgun, and has work experience with QBP, Liv, Shimano, and Pedal of Littleton. Lauren, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about all things kids.
It's so much fun. There's so much going on out there. And so, Tom, you're here as a retailer. This is an open event as we go through. We do have Lauren here. Any questions can come forward, and I'm sure we'll have more retailers joining us as we move along. So, Lauren, you know, just kicking it off, kids category. I know this is important to you because of your role with Kids Ride Shotgun, but so many years experience. Just a little bit more about personally why this is so important to you.
Sure. So in general, I think that cycling can change the lives and improve the lives of so many. So years ago, you know, Liv, that's where I started kind of in the bike industry and spent a lot of time just encouraging women, gaining like the women's business, getting more ladies on bikes and sort of lowering that intimidation factor. Everything that Liv did, that was super important. And you can think and see that category and how successful that's been over the years. And so then naturally, I have a five-year-old daughter. So everything sort of switched where I really believe in and speak it every single day, where the more you can get your kids active and riding and families outside together, better. So it's been pretty awesome to be able to merge the bicycle industry and the passion for helping families and kids together. So yeah, and I want to hear more from you, Tom, as to like what your needs are and how everything's going. So please, let's ask questions and keep an open dialogue.
Yeah, I love that. And I see Larry is just getting on as well. Larry, welcome to the roundtable. We have Lauren here from Kids Ride Shotgun. She has so many years in the industry experience and made quite an impact with Kids Ride Shotgun in the past year that I've seen personally. So I'm really excited to have her part of this conversation. And Larry, definitely comments and questions as we go. This is a roundtable, so let's just keep it open. I remember from my time working in the retail environment, you know, we had a large kids category section up front. And yeah, it was challenging sometimes talking with parents about the right size bike for their child, because I feel like they always wanted to buy something they're going to grow into, but maybe would tip over at the time, you know, like it was way too big. So addressing those needs, and then also, you know, training wheels versus strider bikes and the correct helmet size. And Lauren, you know, just to put it back over to you, I mean, I'm sure you're interacting with so many retailers, and I know I've seen you at the trade shows at Outer Bike recently. What's the current climate looking like as far as kids category sales?
Sure. So I think that the kids category, things, the dust has settled, so to speak, right? Where kids bikes are now back in stock. You know, the last two holidays, almost three holidays, there were a shortage of bikes. Nothing was available, from helmets to shoes to kids bikes, literally everything. So right now, I think we're in a good area to refocus and kind of remind ourselves like the basics to your kids category, and just how to sell them and how to talk the staff through, like you just said, bike sizing, helmet sizing. You definitely, it's not something you grow into. So there's a lot of easy sort of tricks of the trade as far as that goes. So I think that there's a ton of retailers that do a really good job, and maybe it's just sort of refining how we're doing business in that kids section. And so that's kind of why we're here, to open that discussion and see where we need help.
Yeah, I think a perfect example is the Strider store in Bentonville. Have you been in that, Laura? Like,
yes.
It's pretty, like, you walk in there and it's like, oh, I get it. Like, this is definitely inspirational to get kids on bikes. And then the Buddy Pegs, their store as well, with their programming.
Yes. So I would say that, you know, Buddy Pegs and what they're doing for the community and for young riders is exactly what Kids Ride Shotgun is all about and what we believe in. So taking some of those successes and then putting them into your own community is something that we could look into. Strider as well. Like, you go in there and you're super inspired, and they have everything from kids, you know, that basically once they're walking up till they're pedaling. And if you think about the industry right now with the big boom, if we start with these kids at this young age, we're going to build happy kids that are outside riding bikes with their families, getting off their screens, even though screens will still exist, hopefully being happier, healthier young adults and cyclists forever. So it's more than just necessarily just like the bike itself. It's this whole category that's super important for that next generation of bike rider.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I know you're a mom, and myself as well, and getting the kids out and taking a family ride and like what that does just for the family dynamic, it's the energy it brings in. And my kids like remember where they bought their first bike, and that becomes like the bike store. Every time we pass by, you know, if it's done correctly, they're always like, I want to go in that store, mom. I want to go in the bike store. It's pretty contagious. Lauren, I failed to introduce Kids Ride Shotgun to both Larry and Tom and the other retailers. Can you give us a little bit for people who maybe aren't familiar with Kids Ride Shotgun?
I've read about that. Is that the one that Holly distributes?
Yeah, exactly. So yes, so we are a New Zealand company, and we make the kids bike seat that goes on the frame. It's a frame mounted bike seat. And everything we do is to focus on that age 0 to 5. There's a lot of cool products coming along as well, not just the bike seats, but, and we are distributed with Holly in Canada and the US.
It seems like such a safe way to ride with your child, and the child's like right there. The feedback has been great. I mean, I saw you guys at Outer Bike, and how has the feedback been and the response from retailers?
The response to retailers has been amazing. So I think our brand has grown, where now people know who Kids Ride Shotgun is, and it's a staple, right? It's a staple in the kids category, where you're always going to have your balance bikes, you're going to have your burly trailers. And so this is just another way to get kids riding. And so our bike seat is a little bit typically around age 2. So 18 months, age 2, that's when you can start riding. And it is, it's a different experience than having your child mounted on the back, where they are just basically looking at the back of the rider's position. And so you get to interact, you get to explore. It's this whole experience. And I've seen it time and time again at trade shows or at Outer Bike or even at the, you know, visiting retailers. It just changes the whole experience, and you see the magic and you see the love of cycling, and then that family doing that together. It's really awesome.
You know,
there's some people who start out and you just ride with our products, like on a bike path or a super easy dirt trail. So it's really like pick your own adventure as far as using the products.
And Lauren, just to clarify, Kids Ride Shotgun be installed on hybrid bike, mountain bike, road bike? Is there a different one for any style of bike? Or?
That's a great question. So everything we do is mountain bike focused. So we specifically have the original seat and the new pro seat, and they're for mountain bikes and e-bike mountain bikes as well.
Sweet. Awesome. Larry, are you familiar with Kids Ride Shotgun?
1982. When our son was born, I've had four different top tube seats since the early 80s. Very familiar with those. Sold hundreds, if not a thousand of those. A lot of blowback at the time from parents who said, are you kidding? We're putting our kid up there. And I continued to do it. When I used to take the kids to their little, we call it Saturday school, David would be on the front. He was about three. Sarah would be in the little baby seat in the back. I had a Kettler baby seat from Germany. And after we dumped David off, Sarah hopped out of the back seat, ran up and got on the front seat. Now those kids are living in Germany. One has a three-year-old and they're very strict about the Kindersitzens over there. Very, very strict about them. So I've had several of those over there. They're very strict about the bracing and the weights and the safety in Europe. Big, much higher standard than the U.S., certain rules about the bikes. So what I have found, the comparison, and I don't know if this is in the advertising or not, but when the child's on the baby seat in the back and the bike starts going back and forth on a hill, that little neck swings back and forth. You can't see it. Very unsafe. Also, this is the same thing as with a stoker on a tandem. Percentage-wise, that child on the back seat is directly over the back axle. It's a lot of shock to the spine, as does the stoker on the tandem. That's why they make those shock seat posts for his tandem stokers. When a child's on the top tube in the front, between you and the handlebars, they're more or less pivoting like you are. So whatever the back tire endures, 1 inch, the kid only goes up a half. But the main take home is that leading educators, my daughter's a school dean, and says children learn a lot more when they're in motion. When you put a kid in motion, whether they're in their car, the bicycle, they learn three times more than they do in a classroom in front of a screen or even in front of a professor. So this involves the child with the parent because you're neck to neck and you're constantly going over things. We did multiplication tables. We talked about architecture and anything the child wants to learn, any kind of curiosity, you're more involved. The tandem I now ride, you're familiar with it. Linda sits in the front and our heads are just about a foot apart. That's our conference room. That's about one of the undivided times when we're talking to each other is on that tandem because she can't go anywhere. And the other thing is with the child being in front, they learn the skills of cycling. They learn the skills of cycling because they have the controls. In fact, there'd be a time when it was a crude little plastic seat with fold down mini bike crude pegs that went on the down tube. It worked well. And then they started selling these ones that mounted on the stem and some put the kid over the front wheel. I think the shotgun, they sit behind the stem. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a great product. I'm sure there's going to be some, I can buy a bicycle for that much money. But the thing is, when you're done with this thing, you can sell it for at least half of what you paid. So you take the cost in half. And it's something that gets passed down like an heirloom. So when we're done with that, I've got comments on the designs of kids' bikes today.
Larry, I have a question too. So this is Larry Black, 40 years, Mount Airy Bicycle Company. Larry, how important are kids' bike sales to your business?
I think it's important because it's something a lot of people think they can do direct and online. We have some added bonuses here. First of all, we are very anti-balancer. They're mislabeled as training wheels, but Schwinn always called them balancers because they don't train. And especially the adult balancers. I've been an expert witness in too many cases about adult balancers. We sell trikes for special needs people, but we don't like training wheels. I think the idea of the glide, and I teach kids to ride. I've been doing it for 50 years. The Strider type lesson is much, much more effective than the parent is usually the one that gives up first when they're leaning down. and holding that seat. We never want to hold the handlebars, but it's great to have the kid as your first customer. We take kids' bikes on trade. Some of them we give away. I took 20 to Goodwill in the past 2 weeks, BSOs, bicycle-shaped objects. But it's good to have that kid as your first customer and you be his or her first dealer, because it gets them hooked on it. And we include very good assembly. We include a riding lesson with every bike purchase. If they didn't buy the bike from me, it's $100. So I put a high value on that. And the child will leave here riding if and only if they are willing. The biggest obstacle is the child not being willing. And my two rules are don't look down. Okay. If you look down, you fall down. The kids always want to make sure the bicycle's still there. And I put a parent on each end. One is to get them going and the other is come to me. But it's important to have that kids' bike sale, because if you don't have that, you're not including the whole family. We've become more of an inclusive than an exclusive shop. I strayed away from the very high end, latest, greatest mountain bike and road bike crowd, because that changes. That changes frequently. We have hundreds of used kids' bikes, and they haven't changed much in the past 75 years. They've gotten a little bit lighter. These Prevelo, Frog, and McClary, and a few of the others have extra light kids' bikes. Unfortunately, because the kids outgrow those things, $500 to $600 for something you can sell for a third of that when the kid outgrows it in a year or two, to me, is just, I carry those upon special request, but parents seem to want to guess what the children is. And my comment is, one man's bringing three grandchildren in. He says, I need bikes for the grandchildren. I said, do you want to surprise them that last 15 seconds, or do you want to get it right? The bad bike can burden the kid for years. So it's important to get these kids in. Unfortunately, there's so many, and I'll address this later, so many bad bike designs for kids out there, just terrible. And the parents don't know it. Just cocky ideas, and I don't know what they were thinking if they were thinking. All right, somebody else take over.
Lauren, there's a lot there. Thanks, Larry. Lauren, what are you thinking? Any thoughts on everything that Larry just touched on?
No, I think that Larry has brought some just gold, right? Just wisdom and experience over the years. And so that's exactly where Kids Ride Shotgun wants to come in. And just personally, you know, I want to know, like, what's missing? Is there certain sales tools, trainings, tips to then teach these parents, right? So if these lightweight bikes or these higher end bikes or the pro seat, for example, that's one of our higher end seats, you know, what's the value and why? And so I think the customer is there. I think that, you know, if there's a cyclist in your store, you know, if they want to include their family, absolutely. So understanding what's missing, how we can help support retailers better. Yeah, I think that's some of my questions back.
I suggest a dealer tour. Unfortunately, that product, I think, would sell more through a store and what I call demo events. I'm not saying get a hotel room and wine and dine people. That won't work. You show up with an ambassador. You get ambassadors out there. Somebody that's enthusiastic about the product, you find that person, nurture them, and with child, show up at events, be it a mountain bike. We used to show up at all the bike races. My son had one of these 14-inch drop bar road bikes we bought in Luxembourg when he was two. He was riding it by four. Of course, if you push cycling on kids too much, they knee-jerk, and like all the others at 16, ours knee-jerked away from it. They came back in their later years, and two of them are car-free now because of the early experience on the bikes. So that was a blessing. But you need to show up at these dealer things. Maybe a dealer can have an open house, and it won't be shotgun open house. It'll be getting children outside. That way you're dancing with the crowd. And don't even say cycling. Say get kids outside. And you have people from different sports out there. What do kids like? Do they like to kick a football around? We call it soccer. Or do they like to get on a bike? They like to run or jog or do gymnastics. Have a little bit of this. And just if there's a kids expo, some of these towns, I think Frederick, Maryland, DC, and Baltimore have Frederick's Child magazine. It's one of these free magazines that they distribute in dentist, doctor offices, places like that, like a child magazine. It's more of an advertorial magazine, but it does have content in there as well, like an advertiser. And I think 2/3 of the ones that get dropped off go into recycling. But somebody that does pick up one of these magazines, and along with these publications, there are children's expos. Okay. I know the senior population, according to what I heard on Marketplace the other day, is going to boom in the next 25 years. That's why the e-bikes are becoming so popular. But the children's population of that 0 to 5 is going to boom too. And people in Europe are very protective of their kids, not so much over here, but it's becoming more and more so. For instance, if a child is outside walking to a friend's house, I think 4 police cars might show up these days because of the overprotection. But if you align yourself with these child expos and you create your own at selected stores, maybe a few stores can get together. This is not the kind of item people are going to go from A to B store comparing the price. If you're the one that shows how it works and demos it to the parents with the child, and you get a nice, agile child that can actually maybe climb up on that thing themselves, okay? Get that going. And just enthusiasm. Give the kid, like you would for a dog, give them treats when they do a good job. Give the parents a treat when they do a good job. But the ambassador program and the shop visits, I think, would be the two most important things for you. In other words, I sell a shotgun. What is it? The high end, about $350 retail?
$250. Yeah, $325 for the combo.
Okay. And then there are some at $199?
Yes, $150 is the combo.
Okay. That's very affordable. That, to me, that's 2 tanks of gas in a pickup truck or 3 tanks in a sedan. And I always break things down into cost per week. And I call this, compared to the baby seat in the back, pennies a day more, pennies a ride more. Break it down into that way. And I say, if you recommend this and you put your shop sticker on that thing prominently, even have a bigger one made on that shotgun. And then when they sell it to somebody they know or recommend somebody, you say, I'll tell you what, we're going to give you $25 store credit for everybody you recommend to buy this. It's a new product. We want it out there and it's not available in stores. Is that Cisco?
Yeah.
Cisco. So we welcome.
N+1 Cyclery, Cisco has joined into the roundtable conversation. Cisco, how important are kids category sales for your store? And have you heard of Kids Ride Shotgun? And hi, happy December 1st.
It all depends on your location. All depends 100% on your location. My location is between Target and Walmart. Can't sell a $500 kid bike. It's going to sit with me until I force to what I criticize so much to the other shop, do a sale because I'm desperate to get at it. What I do is to incentivize, to give incentive to grandpas are the one buying the high-end kids bikes. They come in, the parents are not buying them. They say, no, the kid, he's going to grow next year. I'm not going to spend $400 on the bike. I can't. So I understand. I have a kid too. And what I did is I have a program that is a training program. So yeah, you spend $300 or $400 on this bike, but the next bike, this 16-inch or 20-inch, you can bring it in, treat it well, and then you trade it in for 24, and depending on the value of that bike, the way I see it at that moment, I give it that discount. And that bike goes to the used bike lot that I have, and it sells way faster. Sometimes I have to do some little touch-up, maybe a heat gun, all the stickers they put on, and things like that. So, you know, all the Dora stickers, I take it out of the princesses and all that, and clean it nicely. And it sells, those sells much faster than the new bikes. So my store is very small, so I have to be very, very careful on my inventory. But I have it maybe one sample of each, and I call all my distributors my warehouse. So when they tell me, oh, don't you have this in red? I say, well, yes, I have it, but it's in my warehouse. Give me a couple of days. So smart. I call JBI, QBP, or whatever. I say, hey, send me the red one. So all my distributors are in my warehouse. I have about 30 or 40 of them. I just up front.
How many bike seats do you have on your sales floor?
Bianchi, and I have some, what is that, Iron Horse that I picked up from the bicycle shop when out of business.
Sure.
A couple of years ago from because of COVID. So I picked up all the kids' bikes, 24-inch, 20-inch. 24 was gold on the COVID time. I sold a few of those for $600. And they didn't even blink because they couldn't find 24 inches anywhere. I had about 40 of those. It's depend on location, 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 location. Don't, just because you like the bike, that doesn't mean you have to have it on the floor. You have to be very careful because you're going to end up having a sale and selling at your wholesale price, and you're not going to get the profit you calculated.
I love the mention of the trade-in program, though, and I have heard a lot of retailers who are doing something like that. And welcome, Phil Cohen, MBDA board member and owner of Chain Reaction Bikes in Georgia. Phil, we are talking about the kids category, the importance of the kids category in the retail environment. Any tips or suggestions as a retailer? Lauren is here from Kids Ride Shotgun. I hope you've heard of Kids Ride Shotgun. So kids category, you know, any thoughts around that?
Yeah, well, I know her product is very nice, and we've sold a few of them, and the people that have gotten them love them. So thumbs up to your product. Yeah, the kids category is weird, and it makes me nervous for the future that we see enthusiast parents coming in here and buying good quality bikes for their kids. But when I started this business in 1991, we used to do 25% of our business in November, December for Christmas. And we would sell hundreds and hundreds of kids' bikes. And now the dollars are there, but we're selling e-bikes and we're selling trikes and we're selling, you know, we're selling expensive stuff, mountain bikes for adult kids, but we're just not selling as many kids' bikes. That's year round. So, you know, I don't know if there's anything we can do to change that. I mean, kids are still getting bikes, but, you know, just it's not like it used to.
Very interesting.
Have you heard of P2 groups and wondered what they are? P2 stands for the Profitability Project. And while profitability is at the focus of everything we do so much more. P2 group members share their expertise and their insights. They ask questions and they exchange resources to make sure every member is profitable and successful in every aspect of bike shop ownership. Reach out today so we can tell you more.
So you're saying that basically it was more of a seasonal tradition to get your child a new bike in that November, December season. And essentially now the dollars are there, but it's kind of spread out through the year versus just those November, December months.
Yeah. And I think also the units are down. See, the dollars are still there, but the units are down. We're not selling as many kids' bikes as we used to. And maybe that's because, you know, kids' bike used to be $150 and now it's $350. So, and now the delta between the department store bike and the bike shop quality bike has grown. It used to be you buy a bike at the discount store for $99 and you come in our store and buy one for $179. Now you can buy one for $79 there and ours are $350. So, you know, the ask for the average person is a little more than they're mentally prepared to spend. And like we see, like customers that get it, that know the difference, they're coming in here and spending $500 or $600 on a bike for their kid, and they're not blinking. But it's just not happening like it used to.
Between 70 and 50 years ago, it was either the Bicycle Industry Association or the NBDA or what the predecessor to it would have a campaign. Look. Life Saturday Evening Post. They'd have a long column. Get back on a bike. Get your kid a bike for Christmas. There were Boys Life magazine that obviously had ads every issue, but these mainstream magazines had an ad that the Bicycle Industry Council, or I think it was maybe there was an NBDA back then, and I collect old magazines. but maybe the 40s to 50s, I believe, maybe into the 60s, had these seasonal ads that why the bicycle is such a great gift that keeps on giving. We don't see that. I would say get us some press releases, well-written press releases with photographs. Those things need to go into things that people look and read and see online these days. But the print is definitely important. We don't advertise in any of those things at all because I just don't want to do a bad ad. But collectively, all our fees that we put into this, take a little bit of that, get one of the creative people among us to come up with a PR that we can get put in our, James Moore used to do this, get into our local whatevers, not competing against each other, but collectively getting kids away from the Sega, I'm going through the years now, the Cabbage Patch dolls and all the crazy, somebody had a history of toys, Toy of the Year yesterday on one of the finance shows, Toy of the Year. And it was crazy, all this fad stuff that comes, My Little Ponies and Pogs and all this crazy fad stuff. And the bicycle is going to hold value and do more for that child than any of those crazy toys out there. And I want to chime in. Phil mentioned the disparity between our bikes and the ones at the stores. When we started carrying these, I think Bash bikes, they had licensed bikes. Who was it? Frozen and Spider-Man. So I said, okay, here's our Spider-Man 12-inch bike. Now, 150 to 160 is a lot of money for a kid's bike. That's if you want to get the normal margin. And when you go look at the Spider-Man bike at Wally World, their Spider-Man bike, also made by Batch or Huffy, their Spider-Man bike, and this is across the board, their Spider-Man bike looks as nice as ours, has a few little extra features like a noisemaker or a siren or something. Yeah, it's got the pinched together front fork. It doesn't have the welded drophouse. It still has air tires. It has spokes. It has metal rims. They might be steel instead of alloy. The bike is 75 to 80% as nice as ours. Okay, and to most kids, that won't matter. 75 to 80%. Yet, it costs one-third as much at retail. One-third. So there's a disparity there. Yeah, they're operating on 15 to 20% maybe, which I can't believe since they have to pay $7 or $8 to have it put together as opposed to assembled. But there's a big disparity somewhere, in, especially in the kids' bike market, of how that bike can be 85% as good as mine in areas that don't matter. A lot of this, when we're selling a bike, kid will find, Cisco will agree, a kid is usually fine with A, B, or C bike. The parent wants to get him D bike because the parent likes it better. Bike shop people like us, we look a little bit too deep into what we like. Okay. Yeah, I'd like a welded dropout as opposed to a pinched one. But for a 12 or 16 inch bike, that's not a big deal. It's something that they tell us we should point out to the parents. And it goes in one eye and out the other ear when they do that. So big disparity. Also, so many of our bikes that they're trying to sell to us, usually second or third tier companies, the designs are just terrible. Mm-hmm. They put handbrake on the rear wheel and a coaster brake on the rear wheel. We always move the brake to the front wheel. All right, that teaches a kid how to do it right. The bottom brackets on a bike store bike should be below the level of the axle. No exceptions. So that when you put the child on the bike, you don't have to decide between can my kid touch the floor or can he get his leg extended and not have the knee hit him in the forehead like department store bikes. That's the biggest thing I point out here, that bottom bracket's got to be. I won't buy any bike from anybody. The first batch Frozen and Spider-Man bikes that came in had the bottom bracket higher than the pedals, and that doesn't work. I just won't carry those. You look at your bikes on the floor. It's got to be level or lower. Otherwise, it's an impossible bike to teach a kid to ride on. Not impossible, but some people try. So designs. And we're not in adult bikes now, but I just emailed my friend at Trek to find out who's behind making a 13-inch 700C bike hybrid with a 29-inch wide handlebar that's straight and flat instead of swept back. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Why the handlebar is as long as the diameter of the front wheel. But anyway, that's going to be another day. Back to kids, your turn.
I know you are seeing some retailers who are seeing some expansion in growth in the kids category. Is there anything that you could highlight or pinpoint there for that?
So again, like my expertise is that 0 to 5 range. And I think we've seen a significant amount of parents getting their kids on balance bikes, right? And so skipping the training wheels, understanding that coaster brakes are sort of a no-no. And so using these tools, right? So these balance bikes, these off-road balance bikes or Strider bikes to get kids riding bikes faster and sooner. So I'd say that I definitely have seen a lot of that happen. I've seen a lot of parents also with e-bikes. So, you know, commuting to school or trying to use e-bikes more as a family ride. And so kind of using the tools that way. What else have I seen? I do think that programming is huge for kids and understanding, right? It's a sale of a kid's bike, but it's that experience and it's kind of taking it further. So it's an experience where they're always going to come back to the retailer for everything as a resource, as an expert, as friends, understanding, you know, when they start riding a bike at 2, they have a whole lifetime of bikes and quality time.
Yeah. Like kind of like what Larry was saying about including an actual class with a bike purchase is pretty neat, right?
And I've seen a lot of retailers get very creative. I think I worked in retail for a really long time and I was the go-to who sold the most kids' bikes just because I was a mom and has gone through it all. So I kind of already knew the gear and I knew how to do sizing really well. So using tools in the store to teach, you know, how to size, right? And so is it inseam? Is it height? Is it bottom bracket length? So really like understanding tools that you can pass to the sales staff on how to sell to parents. I think, you know, there's the womb retailer. So they're more direct to consumer and they have a couple of pop-up stores. They've sort of figured out how to sell and size kids. So I think retailers can certainly do that. All the size charts from Trek, Giant, Specialized, whomever, if there's useful tools like that, I think we need to come up with maybe, you know, standards, right? And so, you know, when do kids start a balance bike? When do kids start going into a pedal bike? And that's very different. It's more skills. So Kids Ride Shotgun, we've done a ton of research on how to teach kids how to mountain bike, or not mountain bike, but balance bike too. And so it's introducing the balance bike first, the brake second, and then pedaling third. That's sort of the research we've found. So it's been really interesting going down that path.
Yeah, it makes me think we even should just have a class to educate parents, like interested in getting your kids started riding, and then teach them what you're saying here. It's like, okay, you could start with Kids Ride Shotgun, and you could start with a Strider bike, then it's a brake and whatnot. Yeah, Cisco.
I like that one. My experience is I used to teach kids to ride bikes. I used to have a program until my insurance found out that my insurance went up by 25%. So I stopped. So the problem with kids not learning how to ride a bike is the parents' problem. They are too overprotecting these kids. That's why you see a lot of people with the easy way with the training wheels. I go 100% with a balanced bike. The thing with the parents is that they create fear on the kid and it delays the whole process. Then we see kids on 24-inch wheels with training wheels and 10 years old, and she's afraid to fall. Then I go to the kid, are you afraid to fall? Before they answer, the parents answer. So sometimes I fire them. I say, well, get out of my store. This is not your store.
Yeah.
Then I get my 1-star review. Then I love it. The parents are the problem. It's the main problem. They got the money, but they are overprotecting these kids. They underestimate the balance mode of these little brains.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much here. You know, we're talking about getting kids into cycling and starting someone's cycling journey. And I'm just thinking about what kids see when they come into our store, you know, that like touchy-feely, they get excited because they see all these bikes. Thinking about just merchandising that section, Lauren, is there anything you could give us there?
So merchandising, you know, that's very store specific, but I think, you know, having a kids category, I think keeping something fun. So usually the parents are going to go in and try and size the child or see what you have on the floor. So if you have stickers or a coloring book, certainly, you know, the horns they love or the bells they love. And if you do have a bike that they could ride in short distances in the store without knocking everything over, there was always one or two of those on the sales floor for us. And so, you know, keeping it educational, the helmet measuring, you know, how you measure a helmet. And again, inseam, if there's some sort of size chart, just those sorts of things. The minimum age for shotgun is usually around 18 months. So their products currently, they have to be sitting up and being able to hold up their neck independently. So right around that 18 months, but there probably will be more stuff coming with that later. But so I could go on and on and on about it. So if there's more things with retail and merchandising and things you need from, you know, companies that are focusing on that age group, you know, I'm listening, I'm open to it. I hear you.
I was just going to comment that one of the categories, it's not a huge category for us, but it's fairly consistent, is BMX. You know, those parents spend a disproportionate amount of money on their kids' stuff. And, you know, we kind of do a half-assed job at it. I mean, we have bikes, complete bikes. And we have some helmets, but, you know, since it's such, I guess, is in the grand scheme, it's not that significant revenue generator. But yet maybe, you know, those parents buy mountain bikes and the kids come back later on in life and shop with us. So maybe we should do a little better job at that, because I know a lot of those people order their stuff online, and I think a lot of them would buy it from us if we had it in the store ready to go. So that's been a category that, you know, hasn't been a huge category, but it hasn't dropped off like juvenile in general.
I wonder if what Larry was saying, how BMX is looked at as safer because it's in a skate park or test track.
I have invested, and it's been working. It's one of the sales points for kids' bike, especially 16 inches. When if you get a parent that is motivated enough to teach the kid how to ride a bike, because that's another thing. Motivation of the parents is like a babysitter. These training wheels are babysitters. Mm-hmm. Parents are lazy. But what I have found is that I upgrade the little 16-wheel kid. The saddle, I take it off and donate that saddle. It's useless for that size. Useless. I replace it with the one with a handle that the parents can hold. And that gives them motivation and teaching how to use it. And it's been one of the best point of sale that I have created here, because it's a no-brainer. I mean, what, you're going to grab your kid's butt the whole time? That one will give it like more privacy. There's no, the kid doesn't know you're holding, what he's holding. It's so psychological, much better. I think that the industry should go on those old 16, 18-inch Walmart bikes. They should have those seats, 100%.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Lauren, is there anything that you think is missing from the kids category right now?
I would say that in general, I've been really trying to champion in that kids category. And, you know, missing from these big bike brands is like that commitment and that creating different products, you know, like the kids' bikes haven't changed a whole lot. And I'd like to see that commitment to the younger rider from big brands too.
Anything else? Any other questions from the retailers in attendance? Larry, I just saw your chat about the stick, the training stick. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something just about, Larry, that you wanted to talk about design, the frame design, and maybe that's
where that was the bit about the crazy high bottom brackets, overly long wheelbase. I think the reason they do the high bottom bracket in the department store is so that the kid, because they don't have anybody there to explain anything, it's so the kid doesn't dig a pedal into the ground when they're leaning or going side to side. That's probably, I can't figure out any other reason for the high bottom bracket. I know they're not going to go mountain biking clearing 10-inch logs or anything like that. But one thing we do, whenever we hear 16 and 24 inch come up in a conversation, or the parents bring a 16 or a 24 inch, those two sizes, I show them that I have 20-inch bikes, or they mentioned 14 or 18, which are only department store sizes. We have a 20-inch bicycle. We park next to a 16 in the parking lot, showing that the seat and top tube are as low or lower. Then we have 26-inch wheel bicycles, to which we've sold to 7-year-olds before, okay, that don't even know how to ride. I should park it so that the 26-inch wheel is outboard of the 24-inch wheel bike, demonstrating, it's an optical illusion, but it's mostly true, that the seat and top tube on most of my smaller 26s are the same as the 24. And unless the 24, we have some 24s that are unfortunately built incorrectly. There was a private label guy that showed up and I bought some of his. The 24-inch is as high as a 15-inch, 26-inch bike. And that bike is probably destined for a donation. But that's a big flaw in these bikes, that they make 24s, which is a less stable wheel than a 26, and a 16 is less stable than a 20, larger than the bike with the next wheel size up. And the good thing for us is that the department stores don't carry these lower frame 26s and 20s. So we can point that out, that our bike is going to last longer. That 5-year-old, when they call up, I got a 5-year-old, I can get him or her on a 20 that's got a low frame, and they'll eliminate having to buy a whole bike. And then when they've outgrown that, I can get them on a low frame 26. This is in most cases, not all the time.
Thanks, Larry. Any other retailer have anything to add? Any questions? Yeah, Phil.
I was just thinking that, what you talked about the hierarchy of teaching children with, you said, balance, brake, pedal. Is that how you said it?
Correct.
That might be something, we could put out through the NBDA's best practices and talk about, how to make sure that we're educating, that the dealers are educating the parents correctly, or letting them know that it used to be different, but now this is the way things are done. And certainly, we've seen with balance bikes, the 2 and 3 year olds coming in that are just pushing around and they've learned their balance.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And you're like, wow, that never would have happened, 40, 50 years ago. It would have never been an option.
I love that. Yeah, I've been taking notes, and I love, as Larry was saying, a campaign to get kids on bikes that we can share with our members, press release some photos and include that. This is awesome. Thank you. Lauren, anything we didn't touch on? I mean, I'm always surprised how quickly an hour goes by.
Yeah, I'm really thankful for the time, and thank you for all the feedback. So I don't know that there's anything glaring that we missed. I love that we're talking more about that education and, teaching the parents, right? And so it's sort of figuring out those ways where parents can understand the new products and why. And Francisco is an elf. Yes. Today's the elf on the shelf day. So I'm appreciative of the time. And if you guys ever have any questions, you can reach out to me directly. I'm on LinkedIn, or you can email. And then when I do get on travel times and travel visits, I'll try and reach out to as many people as I can.
And Lauren, I know you'll be at some of the CABDA shows. Which ones will you be?
So I'll be at all of the CABDAs. So all three, and then Sea Otter.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah. A lot of thumbs up. Yeah. Phil.
I came in a little late. I'm sorry, but you had a retail store. You worked in retail.
I did. Yes. Mm-hmm. In Denver. Okay.
So you're not in that anymore, or are you just a...
So right now I'm working with Kids Ride Shotgun. So I run North America. So I was in retail for a really long time, and I've been a sales rep for Liv and Shimano, worked for QBP for a while. So I ran a retail store for about 5 years. So that was really fun. It was, definitely, it's the heart and soul of the industry for sure.
What market were you in?
Denver.
Denver. Where do you live now?
I'm in Idaho.
Okay.
So it's a little snowy. Yeah.
Up there, what town are you in?
In McCall, Idaho. So it's just north of Boise. But Kids Ride Shotgun is Kiwis. They're in New Zealand. So I'm, the everything, the marketing team, the product development, engineers, everybody's in New Zealand. And then I'm the face here in the US. So I'm happy to meet you in CABDA. And Chain Reaction, where are you? Is that Texas?
We're in Augusta, Georgia.
Georgia. Okay. I feel like I've been through your store for sure.
Maybe it's been a while, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Lauren, thank you so much. Lauren is a great resource for the MBDA, and it's been fantastic this past year to work with you at the shows. I'm really looking forward to seeing you at the upcoming shows. And yeah, if anyone has any questions for Lauren, you're always welcome to reach out to me and I can make the connection and we can share her contact if you can't find her online. Thanks for the conversation today. This is a really important segment. It's a really important category. There's lots of great tips and advice and ways to look at things in today's conversation. So really appreciative for it. And happy December 1st. Like, I hope you have a great rest of the day. Lauren, thanks again.
And, thank you very much.
Yeah, good to see everyone. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening to Bicycle Retail Radio. The podcast is designed specifically for the bicycle industry, dedicated to strengthening our retailers and cycling community. If this is your first episode, we urge you to take time and listen to our past episodes. In the podcast, you will find relatable insight and a deeper dive into the heart of the bicycle industry. The show is made possible through advertisements from our sponsors. Please consider supporting them. And finally, the easiest way to support the show is to first subscribe, then share your favorite episode with friends and online. You can go one step further and leave a review. It helps members of our industry find our podcast. Special thanks to NBDA Development Director Rochelle Scouten for the editing and promotional graphics. We appreciate your support. Thank you for listening. See you back here soon. And with this, we go.
This has been Bicycle Retail Radio by the National Bicycle Dealers Association. For more information on membership and member benefits, join us at nbda.com.